I attended the annual WOMEX Music Conference, WOMEX.com, and brought back a lot of music to share. It'll take me quite a while to go through the music. But one of the great things was that I got to meet Adnan Jubran, who is a member of Le Trio Jubran, and also is someone who put out his debut album about a year and a half ago called Borders Behind, which has become a real staple on Tangents, a wonderful CD. I'd like to start Gaza Corner by playing music from Le Trio Jubran, and the rest will be from October 22nd, recorded with Adnan Jubran on Radio Gallega. And this is Le Trio Jubran.
Thank you. Hello, my name is Adnan Gibran. Today, I'm your tangential guest DJ on Tangent.
We are in the morning, Adnan.
Yeah.
But it is the evening in San Francisco.
Oh, we're supposed to say good evening.
I don't know. It's a philosophical question.
I'm drinking my coffee.
Yeah, you are. It's a philosophical question if it's morning or night.
Yeah.
But we'll let the folks
decide.
It's
the feeling. I'm drinking my coffee.
I think you can say morning then. Go for it.
Yes. Then good morning, everyone. I am your tangential guest DJ today on Tangents on Gaza Corner. Here on 91.7. We were just listening to Debashish Batachai and Adam Delmanti. It's a great CD that I've just been discovering now with Dor. It's great, great tissue. I'd say that I'm feeling something as well organic. When you say Indian music, it just really speaks to me. And when you say flamenco, just screaming, calling
and
me.
And then together they go well.
It's really, really great chemistry. I loved it. I really loved it. I was just dancing while just listening to it.
Yeah, Debashish Bhattacharya, for me, is the finest Hindustani slide guitar player on earth. And he also is the most daring.
Yeah.
And what you've been around a long time already, but only one solo album. But you obviously have a hunger to collaborate.
Definitely.
And to explore other cultures. Debashish is the same way. And he's done recordings with Bob Brosman. He's done, on this album, not just Adam Delmonte doing flamenco tracks, but John McLaughlin's on the album. Mm. Of course, John pioneered combining improvisation and jazz with Indian music, with Shakti.
Yeah.
So this is an amazing album called Beyond the Ragasphere.
Lovely.
And the track, what was it, Moments Remain, I think. Reflections Remain was the track, Reflections Remain, from Beyond the Ragasphere. And then we heard from, before that, from you and your brothers.
Yeah, that was Sama Sununu. Just Sama Sununu, it means the sky of the rondelle in French. It's kind of a small bird that just flies very fast. And that we could see in the cities at the sunset time. They just gather and they start dancing and flying very fast in the air. And this is how we saw the ouds, just flying and speaking one to another.
And it had quite prominent percussion. Who was the percussionist?
With us, Yusuf Ahbesh, as well, like in the album Majaz and Asfar. And now we're looking forward as well to work with him in our next album. We started composing, we started recording a little bit in my own studio, but then we're going to make a very long period of recording and musical production next year, working with great, great music producer in France called Renaud Le Tong. I promise that we will just explore a bigger land.
Ah,
for composition
with Le Trio Gibran.
Yes.
So this will be a first, because it seems like the others were more confined.
Exactly. I mean, the others, I would say that they were the first, and this is the second chapter. So this is a new chapter for Trio Gibran in everything. And I feel always that it's been my role since Randana album.
Since what?
Since the album Randana, which is the first album, even without percussion. It was my role just to push the trio towards something different than what we could hear of Daoud.
And you're the youngest brother.
I'm the rebel one.
The rebel.
Yeah.
That makes sense. That makes sense. So the your family of musicians, not just you as brothers, but your mother, your father, growing up in Nazareth.
Yes. My mother was a singing mother. This is how she met my father in a choir. My father is a oud maker. Started as well as a violin maker. We're a crazy family about music. We eat music. We drink music more than we eat other things. The workshop of my father is just in the house. And so you can imagine the smell of the incense, the smell of the oud, of the wood, is just in the kitchen.
And
it's part of our lives.
To this day.
Sorry?
To this day.
Yes, to this day. And as well, my brother now, he's the fourth generation of the family that builds the instrument, Wissam. He continued, he studied in Antonio Stradivarius Institute in Cremona, and now he's making my oud since, I'd say, 5 years.
So there's Wissam, he's the oldest?
He's the middle one.
The middle one, Samir is the oldest.
Exactly.
Okay. And the ouds in that you own are primarily made by your father?
Yes. Father and brother together.
Wow.
Now I'm waiting just for one only made by Wissam. It's taking him too long because I think I'm changing. His major thing is to build instrument for really personalized and customized on each player and the way he wants to play and the way he's looking, you know, his vision. So he's really looking at my vision, but knowing that I am changing, I am growing up, I am... as I said, rebel. He's just following me. That's why it's taking so long.
So you love flamenco. Does that affect the kind of oud that he would make for you, or these the explorations into Indian music? I mean, does it? You know, how does that impact how your oud is made?
Very very small example. Like I've been trying to convince him to make at least the bridge where we tie the strings, at least to make it combined between the oud and the guitar, which projects more the sound, just like the sitar, just like the guitar. The oud, it's the way we tie the strings. It just like there's a tie that really holds the string from moving freely, which gives this round and deep and I would say timid, I would say shy sound of Daoud. I'm trying to tell him just dare with me because I'm trying to dare musically. I need an instrument to help me play not flamenco like, but at least really like a daring sound. As well the wood that we're trying to put, as well simply the rosas, which is, I wanted it to be very modern. Mm. Always he makes something with more geometric. I wanted it to be really modern, really out of geometry, out of balance, out of, you know, something like Picasso. Just do something that doesn't has to be geometric and balanced.
And how does that translate musically?
Musically, Musically, when we listen to La Danse de la Veuve, there's one part of it, of the main theme, melody, is on the rhythm. But then I put the rhythm on the side, I feel the rhythm, and then I continue my composition just next to the rhythm. Not offbeat, but I feel the beat. It's just like in the Arab world, there's the classical poetry and there's the modern poetry, which still has rhythm inside every sentence. But it's not definitely the same rhythm. It's not symmetrically the same rhythm like the first poetry, which is like in the 800 poetry.
So let's hear it. Let's go to this is the Dance of the Widow.
Yes.
And again, I'm when I hear titles like this, I want to know really what you're referring to.
The Dance of the Widow. It's when I put this name because it has a part on 15 beats, 7 and 8, which is 8. It's easy to dance on, but when the 7 comes, it just breaks our dance. And I saw this widow, or this mother who lost her child, and her child is just on the shoulders of the people, just in his funeral, and just in the Arab world or in Palestine, when we lose someone, especially now in this occupying world, we walk in the funeral, and there's this kind of happiness that he is martyr, which I more feel sorry for the family.
Martyr.
That they lost a child. There is something religious that say that we have to be happy that he's a martyr. But I can't believe this. We don't live back then. We live today. We're born to live and to grow and not to die. But when we are in a country that sometimes we die, like they kill babies in Gaza, we're obliged as well to find a little bit of hope or a little bit of happiness in it. So I saw this mother dancing, and her dance is really between this happiness and sadness, this 7 beat that breaks her her happiness and her dance.
La Danse
de la Veuve.
On Gaza Corner with Adnan Joubran on Tangents. Thank you. Hi, this is Gaza Corner on a very unusual morning because Tangents is always at night. But here we are, October the 22nd, early in the morning, believe it or not, in Santiago de Compostela, the capital of Galicia in Spain, here during the WOMEX Music Conference, where I bring back so much music for Tangents listeners. And an album that I've been playing, and not just during, you know, the kind of Gaza Corner time, but throughout Tangents for the last year or more, one of the most, I think, wonderful, what I call cross-pollinating albums, is an album by Palestinian Oudist Adnan Jubran. And never in my wildest dreams did I think I would be meeting you, Adnan. And
pleasure.
Here you are.
My pleasure. Thank you. Thank you, Larry. I'm very pleased to be here with you and on Tangents as well.
And you have a big showcase tonight, which I think must be very important for you in terms of exposing your music to the global music industry.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. It's I mean, WOMEX, for every musician, it's such an achievement to be performing here. Although I don't like the world of professionals, I like to play for normal people just coming here to listen to music and to enjoy. So tonight I'm going to close my eyes and just enjoy playing music.
I guess I'm not normal. Yeah, you're right. I'm not normal, but I tell you, with all my heart, I love what you do. And what I knew you from your brothers, mm-hmm. Le Trio Jubran. Not only, when I started, I have to tell you, I started Gaza Corner in 2010. Mm-hmm. After the Mavi Marmara attack. Mm-hmm. And I said, can I somehow bring awareness to the plight of the Palestinians in Gaza, in the occupied territories, especially, mm-hmm. and inside Israel? And how can I do it on a music show and still play music? But I just felt it was kind of an act of conscience, especially after that attack when 9 Turks were killed and 1 Turkish American was killed. And so I started Gaza Corner as a way to bring attention to normally an issue that was not being spoken about in the mainstream media, especially in America. Mm-hmm. America covers the Palestinian-Israeli issue very differently than Europe, for example.
Yes. Yeah.
It's a much different narrative. It's much more from an Israeli perspective. So I felt that this is something that I wanted to do. And then it evolved. The Arab Spring happened, and things happened in Mali, things happened in Turkey. And so I expanded the scope of it, but much of it evolves around Palestine and, mm-hmm. and Israel. And I play music relevant to whatever I'm talking about. Tonight it will be a little different. We will, I'm sure, talk about what's going on and your view on it, mm-hmm. but it will be more music than politics.
that would be my main
because
thing.
your album was one of my favorites of, I think it came out in 2015, right?
Thank you. Yeah, mid 2014 actually.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
Well,
yeah.
And it's
maybe the States 2015, but released in France 2014.
Yeah, and I think maybe it came out later in the States. I don't like the term world music.
Me neither.
I kind of bristle at it. On my business card, it says cross-pollinating radio.
Yeah.
I like the term cross-pollinating. This is what you've done on your album. And it really gave no hint that this was a direction that you had within you from listening to your amazing ensemble with your two brothers, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And percussion. 3 oud players in one ensemble. I don't know if I've ever heard of that in any other instance.
Indeed, I mean, Le Trio Jubran, it's the first trio-oud combination. Musically speaking, the way of composition, it was based on improvising, and the way of composing for this instrument on the trio project was quite like less headache, I'd say, in the way of composing, because there should be manners and there should be respect when we are speaking on 3. We can speak, me and you together, and you can listen to me, I can speak, then I stop, then you speak. That can be normal dialogue, but when we're 3, and 3 of us, we have to say our point of view, there must be kind of like someone holding back. of the three. In the same time, we are three brothers, so three big-headed brothers, I'd say, and we always need to say something. So this made the, you know, the right combination and the right balance between what to say and when to say and how to say things. In my album, I tried to open new lands for composition for Daoud. I just take the instrument only as a tool and not as a oud. So I can
only
speak
as a tool and not as a what?
As a oud.
Oh, as an oud.
Yeah. I mean, I used it as an instrument to say what I want to say. Mm-hmm. It can be like a guitar, it can be like a flute, it can be like a piano, but at least I say a melody with it, I say a story with it. It doesn't matter the techniques. We use the techniques later on if we need it for the phrasing, but we don't depend on the technique to compose. We just go straight to the heart. And for me, this is an important way of composing, because I hate like listening to oudists just playing, you know, techniques, gathering them together and making one melody. For me, this is not music. This is just practicing.
Well, your CD is called Borders Behind. Mm-hmm. And talk briefly about the band, not the band tonight, but the band on the CD, mm-hmm. because you have
Jorge Pardo.
Someone who has an Indian heritage,
exactly.
French heritage, Spanish heritage.
Exactly.
And it comes together with a real kind of singular sound, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Exactly.
It's not like you have an Indian track and a French track. You know, it melds together. So talk about that, and then let's play.
Yeah,
maybe
I'm
a track.
I'm really happy that you say it like this. Like it's a different tissue that we created, different color that we created. That not really two colors mixed together, and we can see still the non-flow. Borders Behind, for me, it was this. Mix, but not oud from Palestine today and music from Andalusia 500 years ago. It's just what is in the middle, but organic, that what we do today. My feeling towards every musician that was there, like Jorge Pardo, for me, his career with Paco de Lucia, they brought the music of flamenco from tribunal, from very traditional to very world famous kind of music. Every music listener knows what is flamenco. So they brought the guitar, they brought the palmas, they brought the cajon to Spain, and they made out of it real music, and they made out of it expressing. I mean, very expressive music.
Particularly in a jazz direction.
As well. For me and for them as well. So Jorge Pardo, yes, this kind of guitar playing on the flute, what I like. I didn't want to have a guitarist with me to have flamenco. As well, the Indian player, I made him play on five different tablas in the same track, which is Signs of Madness, for him just to explore a new composition on the tablas, not simply playing one tabla and high and low. The same with the violoncellist, the cello player, the French. For me, it was the second project that I played with him, and from the first project we went on the studio and we started composing for film score, and it was just improvising. So this kind of connection between me and him that made it really easier to play with.
So the tabla player is
Prabhu
Edouard, who I think is based in Paris, like you are now.
Exactly.
And you've been for a long time.
12 years now.
12 years.
Yeah. Third of my age.
and the violoncello, which is really is it like a double bass?
He played a little bit like double bass in certain parts, but more like
Or it really is a cello. You just call it a violoncello. It's a cello.
It's a cello.
It's a cello.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
okay.
Definitely a cello.
And his name
Valentin Moussou.
Valentin.
Yeah, and we met him with another trio called Chkre, that we made with them. They're like strings trio. We made with them a very nice music for films called The Last Flight. with Marion Cotillard, who got the Oscar. It's a big French production. And there we met them, this trio, very generous musically, and it was so easy to connect with.
Mm-hmm. And rounding out the band on the album, you have a cajon player plays palmas as well.
Exactly, Javier Sanchez in the recording. With me on stage, I have a great Iranian player, Habib Miftah. All my musicians now on stage, they have as well other albums releasing, like Sylvain Baron on stage replacing Jorge Pardo. He's gonna release
the flute player.
The flute player, yes. Yeah. He has amazing touch. He has amazing breathe that can remind you India, can remind you flamenco, can remind you Turkey, can remind you really Middle East, can remind you where he comes from, which is the north of France, Britain. Who's going to release an album called Offshore Quartet with Karim Ziad, great musician, and Etienne.
You actually have it in your hand, so yes. It hasn't been released yet, but you have it in your hand,
yes.
and I think you're giving it to me.
Exactly.
Bravo. So maybe we'll get something on from this as well, although we haven't even heard it yet. You mentioned Signs of Madness, so let's get that on. Do you title the song generally after you make the music? Signs of Madness is a pretty overt comment. I mean, what are you referencing on in the song?
In the song, a bit of madness. Honestly, when I composed this theme, it's not something that usual for Daoud to play such composition. Just kind of, I wouldn't say complicated, but just rhythmically complicated. But then I got inspired from playing with Prabhu Edward. And his universe opening I told him, just play rock.
Tabla player.
Yes. His solo there, I told him, you have a guitar, you don't have tablas, just play rock.
But the madness, I mean, am I looking into this too much? I mean, is this a political commentary? What is this?
No, simply here musically.
Ah.
Madness, just you know.
The way you approach the music in the song.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
This is Gaza Corner, 91.7. With my new friend, but a staple on Tangents Radio, Adnan Jubran of the trio Jubran, from the album Borders Behind. This is Signs of Madness
on KALW San Francisco. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Adnan Jubran, and that was my music. I'm your tangential guest DJ today on Tangents on Gaza Corner here on 91.7. And we were listening just to my music, My Way Home. My Way Home is nicer than home, actually. Because the past 12 years I lived away from home. I lived in Paris, and now I live in London for 2 years. And this composition just made me think that I don't care where's home. My home is my land of dreaming. My home is my land of composition. My home is where I feel safe. My home is where I feel good. My home is where I can grow my baby or my dream or where I can make music. So it's just like when we're walking in a passage where we see a lot of trees and the sun is coming through, this is where I enjoy sun more than simply being in a desert and there's too much sun, because we all like looking for light. But light, when it comes through the trees, it's much, much nicer. And it doesn't have this kind of passive or pessimistic or sad thinking of home. It's the opposite. It's where I believe that we can feel home everywhere in the world. I'm Palestinian, and we are sometimes obliged to leave home. Many people, like my grandmother, she was obliged to leave her home, Serin, in a small village in Palestine, and live in a bigger, concentrated Palestinian city became, which is Nazareth.
Are you talking in 1948?
Exactly. She had to leave in 1944.
Why?
Because, I mean, the occupation started way before. It started in 1918, the first Jewish coming to Zionist, I would call it, because we had Jews. And mm-hmm.
You mean Zionists? Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. Because Jews, or being Jewish, is simply a religion, just like being Christian, like us, or Muslims. And just like being Iraqi Jewish, or American Jewish, mm-hmm. or French Jewish, or Palestinian Jewish. We had Jews there. But
And got along fine.
Exactly, for 2,000 years.
Yeah.
So my grandma, she had to leave Serin and to live in Nazareth. And she died in Nazareth, hoping that the first city that she will go back or leave for is to go back to Serin. But she died before she left Nazareth, because her target was, I will never leave Nazareth to anywhere else than if you want just to take me back to where I was born or where I was I grew up.
Is that village all Israel?
And now it's called Sirona. It's a settlement. Not a settlement. It's even a city now called Sirona. Mm. And if we go there, there's a bit like part garden left where you can find old trees, old fig trees, old olive trees. We took her brother, who's still alive, thank God, 2 years ago, and he found two pieces of stones, and he said, I will take it to your sister, to your grandma, and I will ask her what it is. And directly he got home back to Nazareth, and he showed her the two stones. He said, what do you think? She said, this stone is from the one piece of a stone inside the church in Serin, and this one just next to it is the one of the mosque.
Oh my goodness.
So it was the first few steps of this, the mosque, and the kind of where we wash our hands in the church. And yeah, it's this feeling of, you know, in Nazareth she felt home as well. In Paris I feel home.
But you were born in Nazareth. Your brothers were born in Nazareth. Did you all go to France at the same time? Did you need to go to France for a musical education? Was there not the opportunity in Palestine? In Nazareth is part of the mm-hmm. 1948 borders mm-hmm. inside Israel. For you to really achieve a level of mastery of oud and composition. Did you need to leave?
No, honestly, we didn't leave to learn or to know more about music. The opposite, it was we left because there is no infrastructure in Palestine to make music. I mean, to make album. Yeah. I mean, production company. I mean, distribution company. I mean, manager, agent. There isn't this kind of industry in Palestine. Samir, when he first left, it was 2003, he left with Wissam just for one concert, one shot, in Bordeaux, in south of France. And there he met the agent, he met manager, he met production company and distributor. He signed with them, he made the first album with Wissam, Damas, and everything was kind of ready for Trio Gibran to come and produce another new album. So we practiced in Palestine, we composed in Palestine, and we recorded the album in Paris, and we started touring in Paris. And there, France for us was simply a more practical place to live, to perform. Then we did more than 100 concerts a year, mostly in France and as well in Europe. So it was simply easier place to be, that rather than just go back to Palestine every 2 days and come back to Europe, make concerts.
Do you have you I imagine are able to tour in the occupied territories, but probably not in Gaza. Is that fair?
Definitely. I think Gaza, it's a big prison for whoever wants to go in there, or for whoever lives in there wants to go out of it. There's just 90 centimeters door between Gaza and Israel that people, they have to take permission. Maybe they'll never take permission, except you just almost gonna die and have to go, for example, to Egypt, which I was very shocked how they dealt with Palestinians who needed hospitals, especially at the very point of the war in Gaza, the last war in Gaza.
Because when Sisi took over the government by essentially coup, he, it seems to me, has better relations with Netanyahu than with either Hamas or the Palestinian Authority. And you know, people have to realize, I think, that the prison is not just a prison wall into Israel, but a prison wall that Egypt locks as well.
Exactly, exactly. That was really frustrating. And knowing that, you know, when we elect or when we vote for someone, this president should just serve the country they say as a name, but the country, it means the people, and not other countries or not other president. They are serving presidents. They're serving themselves, politicians, and not the people. I think if politically speaking, simply we just have to listen to what the street and what the people need. This is what we should, where and when we should take the right decision.
You are, I would think, along with Simon Shaheen, probably the most well-known Palestinian artists to the rest of the world. Do you take it a responsibility to be activist, to try to do whatever you can to somehow be a force for peace, for understanding, for whatever you can do to improve the lives of Palestinians somehow through your music?
Yeah, definitely. It is a heavy responsibility, to be honest. It's a heavy work, simply to be born as Palestinian, even if I'm not a musician. It's a job. Being Palestinian is a job. You have simply to explain, okay, I am Palestinian, but I'm born in Israel. Now we call it Israel, because it's Nazareth, because it's where Palestinians were concentrated in the 1948. So it's just simply to present yourself. I am Palestinian. You have to have few sentences afterwards to say where you come from. Or I'm like Colombian, but I'm Palestinian. I left Palestine in before 1948. As musician now, the more you have public the more you feel that, yes, you have your space on stage, you have your country on stage, you have your microphone on stage, that you can say loudly what peace means for you, or how we can tell people, wake up, it's time for you to vote for the right thing, or it's time to for you to know more about politics. I've just watched a great documentary in BBC TV that speaks about normalization, which is normalization for our feelings. It's not. It's like we're being numbed from seeing so much things on TV, so much killing, so much bombing, that now, if someone is killed in front of me, I might feel less sorry for the humanity than if it happened maybe 30 years ago.
Yeah, I think it's happening in Syria as
now,
well.
In Syria, we're just speaking about numbers. Yeah. Today, they killed 300.
You're right. It dehumanizes people when you just talk the numbers.
Yeah.
When you talk about 551 children killed in Gaza in 51 days in 2014 during the Gaza, the war on Gaza. It takes one child, though, to be caught in a photograph off a beach in Turkey to capture the imagination of the media to say, wow, the refugees, are, this is so tragic.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
when that was the one baby that was found, this was going on for years,
definitely.
Happening every day.
Definitely.
And it does numb people very sadly. You have worked, though, with your brothers and you, Latrio Jubran, and we have Adnan Jubran on Gaza Corner. We are in the morning, and of course this is being recorded, it's actually October 22nd, but being recorded whenever we're airing it here on Tangents on 91.7. But you had a very special, you and your brothers, your family, I imagine, had a very special relationship with the Palestinian poet Mahmoud Darwish. I think we need to talk about that, and recorded an album
as well,
sadly, after after he died.
Well, this album was supposed to be before he dies, because we spoke about it. You know, Mahmoud Darwish is a very shy, huge artist. He's not only Palestinian artist, he's a world artist, because his poetry started definitely speaking about being Palestinian. This is how he started, because this was his pain. Then this was his story then, that made him become an artist. And then in the late 90s, he started just being a poet and speaking about love, speaking about sex, speaking about being human, speaking about home, speaking about every human subject. And this is, for me, that's the most Palestinian activist artist. He taught us how to be professional first. This is how you can present your country. You don't have to make Palestinian music or to wear the kufiya to present Palestine. You don't have to say that I have, for example, to name my son and his son under my name. He has my blood. He has my habits. He has everything from me. So wherever Palestinians are, whatever they are eating, whatever they are cooking, they are Palestinians. They don't have to cook every day ma'loubi to be Palestinians or to feel Palestinian-like. Definitely, this is what Mahmoud Darwish taught us. And he taught us like how to compose in a very poetic way, how to compose a white sentence, how we feel the noise of the ants, how we can look at the gray color but see it as a color, not as a gray color. And for me, as a man as well, he was a very romantic man. So definitely Mahmoud Darwish was a very important chapter in our lives that helped us in composition, in the way we look at the instrument, in the way we look at ourselves and as home, for example. This is, he wrote, "My way home is nicer than home. This is how I composed this track, My Way Home, which is as well a sentence that Nietzsche, the philosopher, wrote. But yes, he made us believe what is home for us.
I seem to have a memory of recently with the, you know, I'm not sure if it was Naftali Bennett, the education minister in Israel, but I believe, and please correct me if I'm wrong, if you know, that there is a poem by
Mahmoud Darwish. Sajjil ana Arabi, record that I'm Arab.
Yeah, that they wanted to have removed from the curriculum in Israel. Can you talk about that?
Well, that was, I think, one of the first poems that Mahmoud Darwish wrote when he was very young. By then, I think he was 22 or 21. That there is the occupation that made Israel become a country. We, as Palestinians inside the borders of Israel, we were supposed to go and have our Israeli ID cards. And he went to the officer and he told him, write down that I'm an Arab, write down that I'm Palestinian, write down that I have this land, write down that this is my air, this is my land, this is my home, this is my beach. This is so it's a very, I would say, revolutionary way of writing, which what every Israeli politician want to delete. And specifically when Jews themselves, they like this poem and this poet. We know that even Ariel Sharon, he was reading for Mahmoud Darwish. And we know that this specific poem, why it made this noise, because it was put on the radio of Tzahal, we call the waves of the army, the Israeli army. They simply put this, broadcasted this poem by Mahmoud Darwish.
The army did?
Yeah. Well, it's poetry.
Yeah.
If you look at it, it's really poetry. The way he wrote it, it's beautiful.
And we're talking decades and decades and decades later.
Yes.
And all
so
of a
why
sudden,
do you want to delete the facts? Why do you want to delete everything?
Well, this is the most ultra racist right wing government in the history
definitely,
of Israel.
Definitely.
They're not only engaging in we can call it revisionist history, but trying to. There's a similarity, I think, going on in Israel and in Turkey in terms of changing education from being the secular to be more religious and censor issues that had never been censored before. There was a book, is it called Borderland, where a Palestinian and a Jew have a romantic affair and they want to ban the book. Okay? So, Borders Behind, the name of your CD, this must have significance as well.
Definitely. When I thought of many, many titles, it was just like normal musical titles. But then I felt that this album in my life, in my personal life, it's a remarkable step and it's a remarkable checkpoint. When I finished the composition and I saw titles of albums, I felt like there was borders for me. Borders, it can be different levels of borders. It can be musical borders, traditional musically, which I really passed, which I really went beyond the Palestinian or Oriental music, which I wanted. That was a target. But then speaking about being a family project, Le Trio Gibran, of course, there was this kind of borders that Adnan, you are the youngest brother, you made music with your brothers, you should always make music only with your brothers. And then, yes, when I saw this album finished, I saw the sign telling me that the borders are already behind you. They're not ahead, they are behind you. These borders, you already passed them by simply composing. So why not putting it on an album? I call it The Borders Are Behind.
And what's been your father's input in terms of your evolution musically?
He likes classical music. I'd say when I put him to listen this album, I have it filmed on my mobile, and he's like, "And what's that? And what's that? And what's that?" He's like, kind of asking, "Is this music?"
Oh, really?
Yeah. He's very classical lover. He loves to listen just to classical music. And
when you say classical, are you talking Arab classical, or
yeah,
are you talking?
Okay. Oh, even he was listening to Elvis Presley, but for him, this is rock and roll, and it should stay this way. If he listens to new rock and roll now, he'll go mad. So yeah, I was just trying to explain him. You know, there's five beats here. There's seven on eight. Here there's four, but the composition is not on four. And he was like, "Oh, why do you need to do this?"
and for those who tuned in maybe late, your father is, you know, an oud maker,
yeah,
a musician, mm-hmm, and your mother, singer, and you grew up in this great musical family, so it's not just someone who's not engaged in music.
No, definitely engaged, yeah, definitely 24 hours musician, but yeah, who fights to stay there.
My sense is, I mean, what do I know? But my sense is, as you keep doing, I mean, your trajectory is set. You're going to keep expanding, and you seem very curious, and you know, collaborating with people from different cultures, different styles of music. And for me, one thing that all amazing music has: soulfulness, emotion.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, touches the heart.
Yeah.
Your father will be touched. He'll get it.
I'm sure. Not he. I can say that he did cry at certain points. I didn't know if he cried because he saw someone else in the album, or he saw his son really doing something, or because of simply, musically speaking, I did touch his heart. We are a very emotional family. For me to see my father crying, I would say either he's proud or he's sad to see success next to his other project, which is the Trio Gibran. For him, Trio Gibran is the major project of the family. And if he'd see Wissam doing something else, he would feel fear for the...
Sad for the success of something outside of the Trio Gibran?
Yeah, because he would feel that maybe Adnan wants to leave. Uh-huh. I made this album just to stay stronger in the trio. I made this album to have done what I need to do beside Trio Gibran. I don't want to input, or I don't want to force my composition to Trio Gibran. I want to create organically Trio Gibran's music in the Trio Gibran's albums. Mm. But my own music, I should put it and throw it aside. And I did gladly put it in this album.
You know, you talk about your father crying at certain points. You on two tracks, mm-hmm, on the most recent Le Trio Gibran album, have Dafer Youssef, yeah, oudist, Tunisian oudist, has lived in Europe a long time. But when he sings, I think he could make a rock cry.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, he could make a tree cry. He could make me cry, anyone cry. Let's play a track from Le Trio Gibran that you like, that features Dafer with his most kind of heart-rending, anguished voice.
Yes. We can put either Duja or which I actually now remember I did cry in the studio because I proposed. He was our friend, so we were just simply having dinner together, and then we were in the middle of the composition for Trio Gibran, and then I said, "Why don't you just come tomorrow to the studio and just sing, just feel the music. If you like it, just do something." And then really the day after, he was with us on studio and recording Zawaj El Yamam. I just left him there watching him opening his voice, endless voice, and watching Samir and Wissam really like being moved. I just looked at this scene and I cried, proud of my choice, but really moved just because he can move that a rock or tree. Yeah. So we can listen to Zawaj El Yamam.
Oh, yo voy contigo, sola contigo. Pañerita, te juro yo que no quiero más nada.
This is Adnan Jibran, your tangential guest DJ today on Gaza Corner on Tangents at 91.7. We were just listening to Zawaj al-Yaman, which is
the first song in the set.
The first song of the set, yeah, of Trio Jibran with Dafur Yusuf, his great friend of us. And as we said, this guy just can make rock cry. I still remember the image that when he just recorded it with us, it was just so emotional for us. And when we took him back to Palestine with us to perform, everyone like was, he is crazy, he's mental, and he does make everyone mental. And then we were listening to
make everyone
go
cry.
Crazy. Yeah,
emotional. Be emotional.
Definitely. And then you made me discover a great artist, Artu Tunçaboyacian.
Yeah.
Very hard to pronounce, but amazingly as well, deep music, deep sound, touching as well a little bit of Iranian. He's Armenian, but as you said, but it, for me, he's touching a bit of Iranian technique of voice. Which is so emotional, amazing.
It was he's emotional like Dafur.
Mm.
But this one especially, it's called April 24th,
yes.
Which is considered the date of the Armenian genocide.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what he's singing about.
Mm-hmm.
This is what he's feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And it's from an album called Love Is Not On Your Mind. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
from
Artur Tunçaboyacian. Which as well made me remember and like to make you listen to Paco de Lucía and El Camarón de la Isla. This track in Paco's last album, Cositas Buenas, he took a rehearsing tracks that he rehearsed with El Camarón, that this track, they were just simply practicing on it, and then he had to edit around it and compose around it a track. But it just, for me, the guitar is crying, the voices of the ladies behind is just crying, especially because they were so close to each other, and El Camarón left us earlier than everyone thought. The same like Paco de Lucía as well. I was waiting for his album next album. Mm-hmm. I made Borders Behind with Jorge Pardo just to tell him hello. I'm here. I'm big fan of you.
So you were thinking that maybe in the future you would collaborate with Paco?
Yeah, that was a big dream. Or simply I had dreams that really, at least we're simply jamming together in his house or my house. Unfortunately, it didn't happen. But he will remain for me the ideal musician, the way he approaches music and the instrument.
And you, my friend, is also a wonderful example of a musician evolving and embracing other cultures and challenges and collaborations. You're so open-eared, and yet you keep, obviously, Palestine in your heart.
Definitely.
Always.
Definitely.
And as you say, it's a heavy responsibility, but I see that you embrace it.
Luckily, thank God.
Yeah.
And I hope I will keep evolving. I hope it's just looking at the trees every day. It might be the same trees, but it's not the same sun. It's different light. This is what makes us keep going and just looking at things differently. And once we are honest, even if we are trying to repeat the same or not trying to repeat the same, but at least if we don't mind saying the same thing, it will be different as long as we say it honestly.
Well, thank you, Adnan. Adnan Jubran has been our wonderful guest on Gaza Corner, a special long segment of Gaza Corner, the CD Borders Behind. And we have links to Adnan's website, etc., on the Tangents playlist at tangents.com in the far left-hand column. Thanks again,
Thank
Adnan,
you.
And maybe if the stars align correctly, you'll be playing in San Francisco at some point.
With big pleasure, with big, big pleasure, yes.
Inshallah.
Inshallah, thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you.
That is Adnan Jubran, a remarkable person, very articulate in English, his third language. Obviously, Arabic is first, French is second. And that was recorded October the 22nd. In Santiago de Compostela at the WOMEX Music Conference. You can learn more about WOMEX at womex.com. This could not have happened without the assistance of Radio Gallega, which is the state-run radio I think it's throughout the entirety of Galicia in northwestern Spain. We used their facilities, and big thanks to engineers of Radio Gallega, Alberto Lopez and Nacho Bestero. I'm Dori Stein, and after the interview was done, I realized, darn it, I wanted to ask Adnan about the BDS movement. And so we went back, put our headphones on, and we talked about BDS. So this is kind of like a bonus segment of Gaza Corner.
Adnan Jubran is here, Palestinian Udist, and someone who is familiar to many Tangents listeners because of your wonderful album, Borders Behind, and your work with your brothers, Latrio Jubran. I want to ask you about BDS, Boycott, Divestment, and Sanction. What is your attitude toward it?
Well, being Palestinian, for me, it's very, very hard to collaborate for a political reason or peaceful, what we call it. Peaceful reason with musicians, for example. I wouldn't go on stage and act as if there's peace between me and Israelis and just play with Israelis because of this marketing thing. But if my project, my musical project, my musical path, my musical career needs to play with that specific saxophone or piano player and he's a Jewish, that's totally fine with me.
Or Israeli.
Or Israeli even, because I mean, it's this guy that I need, and it's not what's behind it or politically behind it. Definitely I'm against like buying things from the settlements that are being producing Coca-Cola or things in the settlements in the Palestinian lands that they're actually funding being occupiers. Definitely I'm against this. But at the end of the day, there are things that we can't just ignore, and we can't say I will not drink today water, even knowing that water is linked to Nestle. Nestle is linked to a Jewish headquarters. But this is quite relevant issue. I wouldn't just go on stage with Israeli musicians saying that I'm making Palestinian Israeli music, or
you would not.
I would not go saying that. Okay, I'm Palestinian. I'm inviting an Israeli guy, because even
I mean, as a symbol, you go, yeah, but only if it's a kind of an organic need.
Definitely, yeah. And I will not say that I'm Palestinian on my albums. I don't say really that I'm Palestinian on everything. It's just music,
right?
I'm not trying to make world music as well. Or world music for me, that it comes from different country. I'm not making Palestinian music.
So you're not doing it for political reason. If it would happen, it's if the music calls for it, then you're for it.
Yes.
And I have one quick question.
But with limits. Like, there was sometimes an option of doing something with that specific guy, but we had to ask, are we going to lose our Palestinian fans? Are we going to lose our European fans that they think that we are a Palestinian flag, I would say. So it's always a risk to do these kind of things. That's why I say it's a very heavy responsibility to be a Palestinian musician. Sometimes even if we want to work with that musician, it wouldn't be possible politically. So I'm not like blindly against things, because if we think about it, being Jewish is simply just like you. Mm-hmm. It's your religion. You were born Jewish.
Right.
We have nothing to do with it, and you're not Zionists. And
if the music calls for it, you will play with an Israeli, play with a Jew. But do you then wonder if his view toward the occupation? Do you wonder if he's?
Definitely. Yeah.
So this would be important if the
of
person.
Of course. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
So the person would have to be honest honest with what's going on.
Himself.
Okay.
Yeah.
But if they were someone who supports Netanyahu or supports
definitely
the occupation, you would not
definitely
work with them.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you for your honest input. I appreciate
thank
it.
You. Thank
okay,
you.
Adnan. Thank you.
That is Adnan Jubran from Borders Behind. That is a bonus track that he told me he recorded 2 o'clock in the morning. And what's different about it, no oud. It was guitar, flamenco style. The track called Mientras Espero, While I Wait. Adnan Jubran, and thanks so much to Adnan getting up real early on the day that he was to do a showcase later that night at Womex in Galicia, Spain. And also big thanks to Radio Gallega and Alberto Lopez and Nacho Bestero, the engineers. I'm Dori Stein. Thanks to Harry Weller for putting the playlist together. This is KALW.